listening to Trailer Pod Boys, the podcast dedicated entirely to the Canadian TV series Trailer Park Boys.
And they have Weed High. Weed High. Oh my God.
And now, here are your hosts for this episode of Trailer Pod Boys, Matt, David, and Quint.
This is Trailer Pod Boys, episode 57, the Swearnet Shows miniseries, episode 1. Got that right. Not as big a hassle as last time, so I think we're making progress. So, no, that wasn't funny at all.
What's the next part?
I hate you guys. There, that's the next part.
There's the opener.
I'm Matt, and as you heard, joining me once again, as usual, is Dave.
Hello.
And Quint.
Yeah.
And today we are covering three of the Swearnet series, Mailbag, Shows We Can't Afford to Make Yet, and Extreme Fucking Weather. But before we get to that, we're going to go around and talk about what we're drinking, and if reverse order would be starting with Dave, right?
Sure.
Okay.
So today I'm drinking a Tregay, the vodka martini.
I have not thought about those in a long time. Those are
the
very
old
nice.
Standby.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's actually, I think you're discrediting it a little bit by calling it an old standby, because it's good.
It is good. I like them.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of playing with scotch. I'm drinking the Singleton Scotch 12-year, cheap, really good stuff. Fucks you up. What? Fucks Matt up.
I mean, it's not that cheap. It's, like, it's good. But it's, you know...
It's $45 for a liter.
Right.
And they sell it in liters.
Yeah.
Well, the hotel we booked for our London trip, the one bar, I had to look at their offerings. And the beer page, draft beer page, was on one side of the PDF. And the scotch is on the other. And I think I went blind temporarily. Just like...
Excellent.
Yeah, I was like, so I just need to plan a day to sit there.
I sent Matt a gift for his trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Matt, you want to tell him about it?
Oh, you're talking about the address of the meat place in the...
No,
I don't even know.
No, God damn it.
I'm sorry, the gift.
For your London
yes.
trip.
Yes, you did. It is. Yeah, this is awesome. This is great for the show, too. I wasn't thinking. It is... I don't know which way to describe it first, because it's I'll say, man, I don't know which is going to be the bigger reveal. It's a metal hockey puck, a large hockey puck. It's like a 4-inch hockey puck.
Okay.
But it's metal. It has the Flyers logo emblazoned on it.
Nice.
And it has the nice texture, you know, that the molded rubber has in a hockey puck. The only distinguishing feature that kind of stands out, there's this little screw top to it that... is kind of sticking out of it. And if you...
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. If you unscrew it, you could fill it with something. Just right. About anything. Probably not carbonated, but anything you want.
In this case, much whiskey.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, I actually saw them when I was buying these... I had to buy these skates this week, or last week, or the week before. First time in 25 years I had to buy new skates. That's a story in itself. And I saw these at the store with Shark's logo, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta get these. And I took a picture, and I sent it to Matt, and he's like, is that a flask? I'm like, yes. He's like, that's awesome. And so, like, 2 minutes later, I was on their website going, oh, same price on their website. Send him one. Yes. Flyers instead of Sharks. So I should have sent you a Sharks one.
I'd take it. It was awesome. Yep. So, anyway. Oh, yeah, we didn't do my drinking. My drinking, okay, long story short, I was rushing to get my day's tasks done, I guess you could say, and the one thing that suffered in that was my beer buying, so it's another Sam Adams, this one's a Belgian session, and I will tell you, this, I grabbed, to get some variety, because we're recording three episodes, and I'd get some variety, I got their summer variety pack, so next episode, when you wonder, what the fuck is up with all the Sam Adams, there you go, there's the explanation, so it's called Belgian Session. I always pick up a Belgian brewed beer or Belgian style beer and go, why? What? What's special about Belgian again? And I taste it and go, that's right, it sucks. That's what's good.
I see.
Yeah. I tried Belgian beer when I was over there visiting Anne that one time. And, you know, I'm not a beer drinker.
We know that.
Yes.
And it was, okay. Like, it was very light. You know, it's that light, what do you...
Right. It's the beer for people who don't like beer.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially. I still didn't like it, but it was somewhat less offensive than some other beers that I've had.
Right. And Sam Adams tried to do what they do with every limited release, put their mark on it by throwing a shitload of stuff in it. And this claims there's it's fruit, spices, caramel, toffee. No, it's yeah, maybe no, it's there, but it's
beer.
Yeah, exactly. So I will suffer through it. It's cold. It's hot. It is fucking balls hot in Florida right
Which
now.
Is it,
so
is it cold or hot?
The beer is cold. The beer is nice and ice cold, and it's the room is hot. So it's a welcome relief temperature wise, but that's about it. So anyway, okay, on with the show. So like we described, if you heard our intro episode, our last episode, if you suffered through that long hour or whatever the hell it came 13. Out to. Yeah, we're going to discuss the shows. It's more we're not going to describe them head to toe the way we do our roundtables with the Trailer Park Boys episodes. We're going to be a lot more general because this is something Rob Wells, JP Trombley, and Mike Smith are trying to do, and it is a subscription based thing. So we want to support that, but we are going to talk about it. So with that, that's why this format's a little different. We'll be back to our old format. We cover Trailer Park Boys, but on with this coverage. So mailbag, pretty much when you say mailbag, you can expect what you're going to get from this show. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The boys opening mail.
I have to say, thanks to the submitters, there was some things that I did not
you know
expect
what?
On this
you
show. Got,
you make a good point. Let's say that I should have clarified, and I didn't even think I needed to, but I do. The premise of the show, you know what you're getting.
Sure.
You're not.
Yes.
You don't know necessarily what you're going to get from the show.
Right. I mean, you think mailbag, you think letters, but
yes.
They're getting stuff sent to them. Yeah,
they didn't even open the letters. The letters, was like, yeah, they're only opening packages.
Yeah.
And not mine.
And the first episode alone was it was so obscure, it was fantastic. That's the only way I can describe it.
And the thing, we talked about in our last, episode about regretting not subscribing sooner. I regret not subscribing sooner because we could have sent them some funny shit.
Oh, man, I never even thought of this. These guys got a lot of artwork, and that is one of my... One of my proudest moments was getting those guys to sign my artwork. I could just read.
I agree. Seeing some of the posters and stuff, I'm like, oh, dude, damn, Matt, you should have sent something.
Totally.
I know.
Exactly.
That. Yeah, I mean, I could do reprints of those. I mean, because those were printed. I had to scan them into the computer, so I could have reprinted those. Never even would have occurred to me. And the really kind of interesting part of that is that... I think it was the second episode or third episode, they had explained how they never published an address on SwearNet to send it to. People are looking at, I'm assuming, public records to find out where to send this stuff to.
Well, that's funny.
Which is weird.
Yeah, that's a little creepy, actually.
That is a little creepy, actually.
So, I do have some clips here. I did, now that we're already getting into like the second, third episode, I think it was the second episode they finally had a theme song, which has been stuck in my fucking head since watching this last night, and I want to stick it in everybody else's head.
The reason that it's stuck in your head is because it sounds a whole lot like songs that you do for Swift.
That's exactly what I wrote.
Really? Oh, right. Okay. Because as soon as I heard the song, I'm like, fuck,
did
they hire Matt to do this? Because this sounds like Matt singing for Swick.
All right, I'm gonna play it now with that. I didn't even think of that. All right, now that I have that idea in my head, let me play this clip.
It's time for mailbag, motherfuckers. This is where we get free shit in the mail and show it to everyone. Getting free shit is so much fucking fun. Yeah.
All right, I have no argument for that.
Yeah, I mean... You totally could have done that.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a compliment, is it?
I'm kidding. I think it really is a compliment. I had to phrase it in my head where I was thinking about this for a while, because as soon as I wrote it down and when I was listening, I was like, man, how do I phrase this without insulting either Matt or them? And it's like, I don't know. I'm just going to blurt it, you know?
Okay. Oh, that's cool. I'll take that.
What struck me about the video of the first and second episodes, and I realize they're kind of doing it by themselves, they don't have much of a crew, but like they had two camera angles. And
yes, yeah.
In the first episode, the one camera angle was on Bubbles and Ricky, Rob, Mike and Rob, and the other camera was from the side that had all three of them, but Julian was way in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm like, why does the front angle not have Julian or JP in it? You know, it's yeah. like, what the hell's going on? But fun, you know, by the second episode, they fixed that.
Yep.
But the second episode, they fixed that, but... Goddamn close-up guy was always getting in frame.
Yeah, he was. Yep. That's right, yeah.
And I wasn't sure if this was like, okay, yeah, we're still doing this little sort of documentary thing, or if it was just really, really bad shooting and editing, because this guy was in frame all the fucking time.
Now, having done a lot of multi-camera shots and live shows, it's like sometimes people get in shot, but you usually edit around that, but sometimes you can't, or maybe they just didn't feel like it, or... They just were just going for that low budget feel.
I was gonna say it works for something like this.
Yeah,
because, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, this is off the cuff. They don't know what's coming because this shit is sealed. It's not like they pre opened it and put everything in the order that they want to open it. They're opening it for the first time on here, so this is real and raw and shit like that. You can get away with a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I like it because I sit there and go, okay, what camera is he using? Because I can see the camera.
Right, yeah.
Like, okay, that's either a Sony EX3 or a Panasonic. And then, like, later on I saw the Sony logo. I was like, okay, it's a Sony EX1 or EX3. And then later, in the later stuff, I'm like, they're not using that Sony anymore. This is more crisp and has a really shallow depth of field. So they might be doing a DSLR or something by this point, you know.
Yeah.
And it was kind of... In the beginning, especially in the beginning of the mailbag stuff, you could tell that the guy who was doing the close-ups and getting in the shot, he was also running the main camera. He'd just go and frame the main camera, set it to running, and then he was running around with his handheld rig, and then he'd come back and go, okay, because otherwise somebody would have told him, A, would have told him he was in frame, and they would have made a joke about it, or B, would have like, oh, crap, I'm getting in frame on this thing. But no, he just continued to do all of this. It was kind of cool. I liked it.
As a intro show, I think this might have been one of the first ones I watched. Even if it's not, it's an intro for what we're doing. One thing I really like about this, there's always a lot of things I like it, but one in my next note is that they are walking a really fine line and really well of still having that edge and attitude, but being fan friendly. They are busting fans' balls for some of these packages, but yet not to the point that I think they're going to necessarily, they are upsetting anybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, not at all. I mean, and the thing is like they bust a fan's balls over some of this stuff, and then they unroll some of the package
where
the fans have sent them art and gone, oh, crap, we're taking all that other stuff back because this is freaking awesome. And even some of the art that was questionable was like, they're like all over it, and they're just very happy that people have taken the time to do that stuff, right? The graphic... So one of the things... You played the intro music, right?
Yep.
The first episode that they had the intro music, I thought was just awesome because they finally had intro music. It was like the second or third episode.
Right,
And they had to make a point of playing it like four or five times just with different... I don't know. I thought that gag was really, really well done.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
Yep. I got a couple examples here. Again, these aren't like the punchlines of it, but I wanted to. I do want to share some clips so people can get an idea, kind of give them a taste of and why they should subscribe to SquareNet. Here, I thought was one of the things, first ones that of them busting a fan's balls that made me laugh, and it's real quick.
Why did you fucking put so much tape on it, Ryan? You stupid fuck,
Regan.
Regan?
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And you know, I laughed at that and I looked at that and went, you know, Ulrika and I say that every fucking time my mom sends us a
right. I can imagine.
I can totally relate to this. Like, it's like, this is my mom with tape all over again. But,
so, this is one of the few times that Mike Smith is out of character.
Yeah.
You know, now they're all mostly in character, but for some reason, Rob and JP don't seem that different out of character. Although they're different, and we'll get to that later. But for some reason, obviously, because you know Bubbles and Mike Smith, Bubbles has the glasses and he has the underbite and the whole shtick.
Yeah.
So he's really different. Out
yes,
of character.
Really. Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know. It's just because for 7 seasons and 3 movies, you've got this idea of Bubbles in my head of being super nice and super sweet and just into kitties and everybody getting along and all this kind of stuff. And then you get him sitting there and he's just like ripping on people about yeah. tape and all this other. It's like, wow, Mike Smith is kind of an asshole. It's like, no, he's not an asshole. He's a normal person. He's just not Bubbles.
Bubbles, right,
now,
yeah.
You know?
No, no. If you watch the Target video, he is an asshole.
Oh, is he?
I don't want to go into too much there, but the Mike Smith interview clips on the Target video were like, wow, dude, you're really being a dick about this.
No, I haven't seen those yet, so I'll
have
to
watch
comment.
That. I'm really interested. I gotta see that.
But I mean, through this, you know, I agree with you. He's just, you know, he's not an asshole. He's just not Bubbles, and he's yep. just being a dick with the rest of the boys.
Right,
and it's
right.
all good stuff, right?
It's just not you're not used to seeing him do that.
And that was the thing. One of the notes I made, like. Again, like I had a global set of notes, and then I had some episode notes. But the global set of notes was like, "Wow, watching these guys out of character is really tough sometimes
yeah.
because you'll get these spots where Ricky, Rob will do a Ricky thing,
yeah.
right? And you'll just go, "Oh, there you are, Ricky," and then he'll swap back, and it'd be like, "Well, shit," you know. And then you know, with JP. JP plays the straight man in this
yeah.
the same way he does
same
on the
way.
Show, but it's one of those things where it's just kind of like when he gets frustrated, you see he's really getting frustrated. Like he's not in the Julian act anymore. He's just like, come on, give me a fucking package to open. It's my turn,
oh,
damn
you,
it.
You heard.
It's petulant.
You heard. You know? And this is something we've only heard. You heard the recording I gave you, and this is not, it wasn't a bad thing. I don't want to make it sound like it was something I'm hiding. When we had did the interview with them, when they were struggling with their phone, I just fucking did it too. When JP got frustrated with it, yeah, he. He was not Julian at that point.
No, and it was an interesting thing exercise, you know, starting to go through this stuff and really watching them as themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess they're doing stand-up is really what they're doing.
Yeah, because what I was going to say, just as a counterpoint to Dave, something Dave said, I think the argument could be made, and my backing will be to watch that Target thing. I think the argument can be made that JP is still playing a character to a degree in these clips.
He is a little bit.
He's not playing Julian, but I still don't think. I think he's putting on a tough.
He's playing.
Say that. Go ahead. Maybe you can.
He's playing the JP PR face.
Okay,
is what
right.
he's playing. You see it a little bit in the Target stuff as well. I think he's actually kind of camera and publicity shy.
I can see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's a brilliant actor when it comes to,
doing his shtick
and doing all that stuff. But I think when it comes to actually presenting who he really is on camera, he's really kind of shy about it. And that really bleeds into to what you see.
Yeah. He seems to be a very private person.
Yeah, you might be right.
Which, again, is just like it. We get to finally see these guys in this raw form, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
now, hearkening back, looking at my notes and my soundboard, hearkening back to the idea of Rob Wells and Ricky kind of intertwining throughout the SwearNet stuff, my next clip that I have to play, only because Quint had quoted this right after I saw it, so I know it stuck in his head as much as I did. It's from Rob Wells saying,
"Thank God you got this."
Rob Wells saying,
"Yeah, I'm fucking stupid in real life too."
Nice.
Oh, let's see. There was an interesting. Oh, this is. I wanted to ask you guys specifically. Being in California, I won't say what's in the box, but it is from a town called Weed, California.
I looked that up. Oh, you've been there.
I was going to ask because I saw it's not super far from you guys. I mean, it's not next door, but it's not real far. It's north of you.
It's basically on the Oregon border.
Okay,
right?
It's definitely north of you. That was fun. Which was weird was when I typed it on Google Maps, you know, the next biggest city south was San Jose.
Yeah, my buddy's dad lives in Weed.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
And he lives there, Red? Too.
No. So Ulrika's best friend Denise, her husband Jeff, his dad lives in Weed.
Interesting.
Weed.
I've never heard of Weed, and I've been up near the Oregon border just once.
Twice. I did the trip from here to Seattle a couple of times. I used to live in Seattle, so I've done that trip a couple of times in car. And every time you go through, it's like you get the Weed, and. Damn, I always pull over and Weed if it's not to get gas, it's like, you know, find something to munch on or get it. It's just like.
I would pull over just to get a damn t-shirt.
Exactly. It's like they don't have any.
And they have Weed High.
I know.
Oh, my God.
When I saw this thing come on, I'm like, oh, my God, this is
perfect.
Perfect. Like, and Rick, what, Ricky, I'm doing this too now. Rob is like, he's like, how have we never been to Weed,
right.
California? We've been to California like 5 times. Why have we never been to Weed?
That is a damn really. Good question, because they were not far when you guys saw them their show.
It's a
Weed ways. Weed is about 7.5 hour drive.
Oh, it's that far? I'm sorry. Well, on the map, it was only like an inch.
Yes,
that's what she said.
This is the standard East Coaster
inch
response to how big California is.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
It's just L.A. to San Francisco, and then San Francisco to Oregon.
I think I finally learned firsthand when I was catching a flight. Or flying out to you guys and had a layover in L.A. And I'm like, why the fuck am I getting on a 2-hour flight? I'm in the same fucking state.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, there's nothing. There's no reason for them to go to me. There's nothing around.
Nothing there.
Portland is a 3-hour drive north of there.
No, Portland's 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Portland. No, it's more than that.
No, it is. Right. Yeah, when I drove to Portland a couple years ago, we stopped
or 6 hours.
We stopped in Ashland, which is just across the border.
Right.
And that's like, because that was almost halfway.
Right. Because Portland is like. Portland's almost to Seattle. Right?
Yeah,
Seattle's on the very southern side.
It's another couple hours.
It's 2 hours from Seattle. But yeah. Seattle's really south of Washington, and then Portland is very northern,
very close to northern Oregon. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we used to go to Portland, we used to go to Portland from Seattle because they had better strip clubs.
Makes
sense. Talking about the difference between Ricky and Rob, you know how he says he's dumb in real life too, but. He's not. I mean, there's an example. I'm trying to find it in my notes of something that he said that like Ricky would never have been able to say without Ricky-izing it.
I missed that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
Rob Wells is not a dumb guy.
No, here it is. He says the word succinct. Like, there's no way Ricky would say succinct. He wouldn't even know what that word is.
Yeah,
that's a good catch.
Oh, the one thing, and now I'm going to spoil a gift that they got, but it's just too good not to spoil it.
Okay.
The Stray Carts book.
You know, it's funny.
Was sent to Bubbles,
yeah.
Not to Mike, and Mike opened it anyway, and Rob made a point of saying, are you going to open Bubbles' gift? And he's like, I think so. And it was this book about stray shopping carts, and, I don't know. It must have been a one-off. Like, they put it together or something?
Absolutely not. And I'm glad you said that, because I looked it up, and you can get it. I can get it right now on Amazon.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
What is that? The Shopping Cart Field Guide or something? Field Guide to Shopping Carts. I think that's it.
Nice.
And it has been around for a while. And as you can guess, it's got... More reviews on Amazon than it needs, and I would say a good third of them has some sort of Trailer Park Boys or Bubble reference hidden in the text somewhere.
Of course.
Yeah, no, this is a real...
That was awesome.
It's the Stray Shopping Carts of Eastern North America, A Guide to Field Identification. And it was published in 2006, written by a Julian Montague, and does it have Kindle? I don't think it can't possibly have a Kindle version, can it? No, just on paper.
Ah, damn it!
Yeah. I was just going to say, if it has a Kindle version, I'll pay them.
But this has been around since 2006. I mean, I guarantee Mike Smith has seen this. In fact, sure. I guarantee he signed some of these at these live shows.
Right.
So, yeah, this is a real book. I had to find out.
There was also on Mailbag, there was a t-shirt that I absolutely must have.
I'm sure I wrote this down. Which one are you talking about?
Don't Air Supply.
Yes, that's the one.
In the Air Supply font, yep. Everything, it's like, Don't Air Supply. I'm like, come to daddy.
And that's not giving away anything, because JP is wearing that, and that's actually, you can clearly see it in the thumbnail of that episode, so you don't even need a subscription to see the shirt.
It was so awesome. It was just like, I want that shirt.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Donaires did feature prominently in the mailbag.
I have that note that there's the first appearance. We're gonna as far as our discussion goes, the first appearance of Pat Roach, who is very quickly during the SwearNet files, has become my favorite member of SwearNet by far.
Oh my god, this guy's brilliant.
You know, it's actually not to jump ahead, we're actually going to talk about, no, you know what, I'll save it because we do see him as Randy, and it's actually disappointing after getting to know Pat Roach.
And you know, it was weird that they couldn't get him on for the episode where they found the pillow.
I know, right?
Because the pillow was really Pat Roach's gift. And, yep. I would have loved to see his reaction to it.
Other big note I've mentioned more than once, because they change sets halfway through this series, at least that we watch, but it's always black and red, and I just attributed to it because generally black and red is the color of the Trailer Park Boys, Trailer Park Boys fonts on merchandise. Or is there something else to red and black maybe that I'm missing that you guys caught on to?
No, it's just really cool. Okay, contrasting colors.
No, they are cool colors. Yes,
yeah. Dave's wearing his Trailer Pod Boys T-shirt.
Oh, nice!
Black and right, red, yeah, with a little bit of white in it too. So, it's, you know, it's red for Canada, black because it's black.
Okay,
it matches everything, right? I mean, shit, the French know that.
I kind of figured asking that was reading too much into it, but the only reason I asked is because the last season of Red Dwarf featured a couch that was like a 57 Cadillac that was red and black, and I didn't know if there's any kind of car, you know, car history attached to that color scheme. Okay
other than the fact that, again, red and black are just awesome colors on cars,
right,
as well.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Although in that case, go for red, never buy a black car. Black is just impossible to keep.
Yeah, right.
right.
And
I had some friends on the East Coast that always bought black cars for a while, and it's oof, that's rough. Yeah. They heat up too much.
Yeah, that's why I hate getting in a black car down here.
Yeah.
I do. So, go ahead.
Do you have the quote? Do you have the Rob Wells quote about the thing that's really invaluable?
Invaluable? Probably not, because I don't know what that is.
God, there's this one point in one of the episodes, and they're using one of the gifts that they got to open packages, and he's like, "This cock is really invaluable."
Oh yes,
I don't have that.
That cock, that gift was just awesome.
It kept
paying back over and over.
Yeah,
again.
It did. It was one of the best gifts they got.
Speaking of that, and again, without tying all these loose ends together, because people really need to check it out. I do have a question for you guys. How fucking long are those hot dogs in the freezer? Like 2 years?
Oh, shit.
Oh, at least.
Oh, I thought you were asking how long the hot dogs were.
No, how long were you in the freezer?
No.
I'm like, man, 8 inches? Yeah, what?
No, because he took them out.
Those have been in the freezer for years.
They came out under a solid block of freezer burn frost. I was like, what the?
Okay, but that's kind of how hot dogs
come. That's how hot dogs work.
Oh, okay. You know,
well, they come that way here, too. I haven't had a hot dog in years.
No, me neither. But, like, I have some sausages in the freezer. And, yeah, you put them in the freezer for a couple of weeks, and they just got ice all over.
Exactly.
Them.
They're all just stuck together ice blocks, right? So, yeah, but there was some pretty dry ice on the end of that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you got it on that thing at all.
Well, exactly. I was wondering if they'd cut and got a drill or something.
I know, right?
But, oh, man.
Well, yeah, but if you want to know what we're talking about, you should gotta check this out.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, honestly, for what it's worth, like, the subscription price for a month is cheap, guys.
Yeah.
It's worth the mailbag alone.
In fact,
and here's a quote just to entice you to subscribe. Somebody says at one point, it's a multi-cock.
Actually, I have to close this out, to close mailbag out. I did do this. I pulled a clip. I'm not going to tell you what it refers to by any means. If you want to know what they're talking about when they say this, you have to subscribe for yourself. So let me play it right now.
How long do you think somebody draws a cock on that?
45.
I got that too.
I had that too.
Now, just further enticement, there's some other quotes that I had.
Okay.
Could have been a donkey. Yeah. There's another one that is, put it down, it's gone bad, you can't eat it. Okay, so the Star Wars one. Fuck Jabba with that thing on.
Here's when Swearnet comes out, Swearman should have that on for a cape.
Let's see, what else?
I mean, they had some gems here.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, there was this whole mailbag thing is where Vicky comes into play.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Quickie Vicky.
Vicky.
Or Vicky Quickie or whatever the heck it was. You really, and they give JP a really hard time about this because his mom is actually named Vicky, and so you really want to see what Quickie Vicky's all about because, wow, that mailbox that they got, the box of mail, was demented, is the only word I can really think of to really describe what they sent.
Yep.
Oh, and there's a whole lot of nipple pinching that goes on.
Oh, God, that hurt. I didn't even...
That didn't happen
to me, and it hurt. I had to grab. I'm grabbing it right now. I'm rubbing my nipple right now.
I know. It's like, ouch! Jeez, guys. Yeah.
This is good. I mean, the premise is so simple, but I mean, the two things that make it work, obviously, from our discussion, is what is sent, and that these guys can just run with this shit. Yeah. You're like, holy crap! I can't believe someone sent that.
It's a beautiful piece of improv is what it really is. And they just keep running with it. Yep. And the best thing is like they look like really good friends in real life that just like to rag on each other like the same way that we do. And, you know, that's really refreshing to see from these guys who've been doing this for so long. And we've been watching for so long and we've been seeing them as friends for so long in character that in real life it's kind of the same way. You know, it's they're still friends in real life and they have a good time and they like to fuck with each other.
Yeah. Which brings us back to Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because it sounds like all those guys
do the same.
They have been friends forever and they're still friends and, you know, they're freaking marrying each other.
It's true. Yeah. I forget.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mac is married to Dee in real life.
Okay.
And Charlie is married to the waitress in real life. Yep.
I didn't get to the waitress part.
No, the barista.
You've seen her. Yeah.
The girl he's always stalking.
Oh, really?
They're married in real life.
Oh, no shit.
I didn't realize that until recently.
They were married when the show
before
started.
The show,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And Mac, yeah. Mac and Dee got married during the show. The actors, the performers.
These guys really, I mean, as friends have awesome chemistry in real life as well as they do on the shows.
Yeah.
Well, at least what we're seeing on what they're putting out, but I mean, a lot of this stuff you can see, like, they're not cutting a whole bunch of this stuff out. they're really not. Yeah. Like, this stuff is raw, and, you know, especially the mailbag segments were really raw. It was just like, no, this is who we are. Fuck you if you don't like it. And if you do, fuck you twice, because you can take a joke.
Yeah. Anything else on mailbag?
No, that's all I got without giving too much away. I mean, I think we painted a good picture that it's something to see, for sure.
Yeah, good stuff.
Sure. The next thing we decided to cover in this episode, this is real. I didn't realize when I put this together, I forgot how short these were, but it's called Shows We Can't Afford to Make Yet. And since they're so short, all I pulled was the theme music just to have a clip for this. So let me play that real quick.
Shows We Can't Afford to Make Yet.
And that's it.
That's got a great 70s
vibe. It does, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just... That's fucking awesome.
So I don't feel like I'm giving anything away by reading the titles, because you can read the titles without the without an account. So this is not, you know, punchline information. The three things they put together, three concept pitches or trailers, whatever you want to call them. First show is called Fucked on Pills.
I would watch that.
I would totally watch that.
And basically, well, I mean, I guess this is giving it away, but it's basically they just grabbed a bunch of footage they found online of people acting bizarrely in public.
You are giving away what it is, but as long as you're not saying what they're doing, because that's the part that's worth seeing. Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Go ahead.
We can fucking fix anything.
I want that to exist so bad.
It sort of does. It's called Redneck Repairs. On I Can Ask Cheeseburger. Okay. I mean, this is really it's a blog on I Can Ask Cheeseburger. It's called Redneck Repairs, and this is basically Redneck Repairs on TV.
Okay,
it really all is. Right.
And I would watch that.
Dave, come on. You've seen
I have not seen Redneck Repairs.
You turned me on to Redneck Repairs.
Well, maybe I have. It's been a while.
Anyway. But it's basically just like, yeah, we can fix anything with a bit of, you know, anytime you walk through something.
It's like
something,
the old Red Green Show.
And honestly, yeah, this is a dead idea. Red Green did this. Damn it.
Yeah. And honestly, that whole bit, that we can fucking fix anything bit, it was like, eh.
Yeah.
It was a little. It was pushing it a little for me. Yeah.
Well, and now that you mention Red Green, it's just kind of like, oh shit, how would you top that?
Right.
You know, like, I take it back. By the title, I wish that was existed. You're right. The premise that they gave in the show isn't really what the title implied. So yeah, actually, I mean, by title alone, I wish that existed. But you're right. I forgot the premise ended up being a little different.
Yeah. The next one. And honestly, we shouldn't say anything about this one. Just leave it to users' imaginations. But the OMFG show has legs. I mean, you could run this for decades.
Right. I mean, and it essentially has been, because it's basically that's incredible for the TPB crowd.
I thought it was just YouTube.
Jesus Christ, that's right.
I mean, this is just fucking YouTube.
It's a certain section of YouTube, right? Collected together as well, you know, that's incredible. Real people, America's funniest home videos.
But they've been trying to do this a whole long time, right? With all of the shows that you mentioned, plus like Tosh.0 or whatever. But doing it in the style that these guys did it, I think would be. Yeah, you would have season upon season upon season, just because, well, there's people on the internet that are doing fucked up shit often.
Yeah, there's another supply of material. Here's a question. You said the Tosh.0 one. I wonder, man, who could, and not outside of Rob, JP, and Mike, let's think of everyone that they've had on SwearNet so far. Who could you place as a solo project? Any ideas jumping out to you? Because I just had one. I'm assuming what you guys think.
What? Who could helm this?
Yeah, I don't know why this jumped out at me. I don't really know that what I saw of him on SwearNet actually even makes me think this. I would like to see him do it. I wonder if this could be a solo project for Corey to host.
Oh. Corey, and
I could totally see that.
Yeah, and the little we did see of him in SwearNet doesn't really tell me that this would work for him. But I for some reason that's who jumped into my head when I asked that question.
So actually, you know, bringing up, you know, other characters that are doing stuff here, is there any word of one of our favorites coming back? You know who I'm talking about, right?
The other?
Our white rapper.
You know what?
I thought I remembered him being in the behind the scenes stuff that I've seen.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm going through this stuff pretty slowly, and I'm basically doing it for this show because I want it to be fresh on my brain when we talk about it. So I haven't really seen any of this stuff, but I really, really, really hope he's back.
I think I saw that he's definitely in the next movie. We've seen that in the trailer or in the movie. I'm sorry, the movie's already out. He's in Don't Legalize It. I think I read on trailerparkboys.org that he's in season 8, and if I read it there, I trust it. That's where I go. That's cool. Something I do want to say this is well before we're even getting into our roundtable discussions. I'm just not going to bother reporting news now, because one thing we've learned during our hiatus is that this is apparently evergreen content, because people are finding it all the time, and all the news they've heard now is gone. I will just say, if you want good Trailer Park Boys news, go to trailerparkboys.org. I'm just going to defer to them from now on, because I can't top their reporting, and it's almost always, if not always, accurate. And I'm pretty sure I read there that he's in season 8.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because Trailer Park Boys really can't happen without him.
It's true. Yeah.
I mean, it can, but he was like, he was like, what? One of the first guys the boys talked to when they got out of jail on the very first season. Like,
and not only that, you know, he is one of the supporting characters that is just crucial.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Although, you know, that's not to say that I haven't seen other TV shows come back where they've backfilled, you know, where you can't get actor X anymore, and they backfilled with a different character.
Yeah.
Completely different character that fills the place that does just as good a job, sort of thing. Like, you know, hell, we were talking about Cheers earlier this evening. That's a good example of,
You know, they substituted several characters.
Right. Yeah. And shit, like, they lost Shelley Long, the love interest, and they replaced her, you know, with what's her name?
Kirstie.
Yeah, I remember the actress. I can't remember what her character name was. Rebecca.
Rebecca something, wasn't it?
But anyway, like, that went back and forth, and that worked for him. Like, that.
I mean,
I hate Shelley Long, so it worked even better for me. But a lot of people liked the Shelley Long character, but that really worked, and the show kept going, and that was like a
and
really
then
major
coach to Woody, and Frasier came on, and
So it can work, and I think that they can do that for this too. But deep down, I really hope that Jon Stewart just comes back.
I'm reasonably sure I read that. That is something I'll try to verify before we exit out of these miniseries and get on to and wait for the Netflix release. So I've actually made a note of that to see if that I can find that definitively before we start those. Well, we'll know when we'll know when we watch them, but it'd be nice going into it.
So then the last thing on our...
please tell me this isn't the only
okay,
one of
I'm
these
so
they
glad
did.
You said that, because I love this so much, and I'm thinking, is this just me? I hope the guys like this, because I fucking love this.
Well, I might be the detractor here, because I got tired of it after the first 30
serious?
Seconds. Yeah, because it's basically Pat Roach yelling "fuck" at the camera for a minute and a half.
How is that not funny?
He's yelling
it ceases being funny after about the 45th fuck.
He's yelling
it's
at
like,
weather.
Yeah, it's fucking cold. I get it. I don't know what's so funny about
At first, I thought the same as you did, but like, it's like, okay, it's just you've hit your fucks limit for this minute, and then it just kept going, and he just kept. I guess
it didn't get funny again for me.
Oh, I laughed the whole time, and it's the second time I watched it.
And I was like, yeah, okay, please, more Pat Roach.
I love Pat Roach, but this was just like him standing in front of a camera in bad weather yelling "fuck."
Okay, well, you know what? I don't even think we explain what this is. So let me play the intro clip to announce the show here.
Reporting for SwearNet Extreme fucking weather. This is the March 26th storm in Halifax. It's a fucking blizzard out here. It is fucked.
How's that not funny?
Yeah, that's funny. And then it ends. After that, it's not funny anymore.
Man, you're...
No, I would love to see him doing like the hottest day of the year.
Oh my god!
And
I will. Okay,
yeah,
I
the rainiest deer.
I want him to
show me some variation.
Angry.
Definitely, show me hot. Show me whatever.
Right. But the whole thing, like and then it kept going, and then he woke up in the morning, and it was like, oh, this is the next day, and he's hanging out, and his hair's all done, and everything. I thought that was a great
movie.
I was
it.
Just hoping there was more.
I know. I want there to be more.
No, I got tired of it real quick.
Oh, man, you're wrong. I'm going to say it. Flat out say it.
Thanks, Matt, because I'm sitting here with him, and I got to spend the night here, so I'm glad that you could say what I can't, because
and I think
I need to sleep tonight.
I ain't going to throw you out. Say what you want.
Well, it's not that. It's just like, you know, throw water on me in the middle of the night or some shit, like... Just get revenge on me for...
And just in defiance of your opinion, I'm now going to change your text tone to this.
Blizzards are fucked!
Yeah. That's awesome. God, change mine too. I love
it. Oh well, this, you know what? It's probably good that we do have some varied opinions on here. That might be more enticing for people to watch this. I love guess. It. I think it's one of the best pieces on Swerna, to be completely honest with you. And I'm not saying that just to be defiant. I really love this bit.
So I wouldn't go quite that far,
really?
But I did. No, okay. I did love it. I mean, it was just, well, I think what really won me over was the composting bit.
That was good.
Like, that really that. Just won me over. I was like, oh, fuck. We went from one rant to another rant, and straight up just, I'm good. I've gotten my fulfillment out of this five pieces of video. or 5 minutes of video.
I did like the compost.
I think what really charms me to it, and it's, man, I don't know what aspect you'd call it. It's definitely, I don't mean to say it, it's an emotional thing. The way it took me by surprise, I think, is what it was, because what we knew of Pat Roach up to this point was Randy, and that he was like either an accountant or an insurance adjuster. And that's what I went into watching this, and to see this not at all either of those things, that might be the charm for it for me. I mean, I could see, I completely understand your point, Dave. If you're not, it is repetitive, but for me it's a funny repetitive. But if you're not enjoying it after the second or third one, you're not going to enjoy the rest of the 5 minutes of this for sure. I can understand that. Yeah. I happen to like it, so it worked for me. I think the thing that makes me love it so much is the surprise it took me by, if that makes any sense.
That's part of it too. Yeah, I think so too. I agree.
That's why I say it's one of my favorites. Although I'm sure if I really sat there and put some critical notes to it, it probably wouldn't measure up. But the way it surprised me so pleasantly is why I'm saying and putting it in such high regard.
I don't know. I guess for me, it's just like any time I see Pat Roach in a more assertive sort of tone of voice and role. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we've seen him as such a submissive through all of Trailer Park Boys that anytime he goes on one of his famous rants and he's actually the assertive dude, it just makes me fucking laugh a lot, you know. It's good. And even like we were talking about Mailbag, the Donaire bit.
Oh, the Donaire bit.
You know,
bit,
when
yeah.
he comes in with the Donaire bit, he's being really assertive with the boys, which is like, this is something completely out of character, and the boys take it.
Yeah, but at that point, you can tell it's a bit.
You can tell it's a bit, but at the same time, it's like, it's a bit they've never done on the show sort of thing before. Like, it's a, well, Pat's just getting away with shit, and he never does that as Randy.
True.
Right? Like,
true.
Randy would have been kicked fucking to the curb in, like, a heartbeat, right. But Randy, you know, Pat's getting away with this, and he's like, fuck, I'm just hungry. Watch the bit. It's fucking awesome.
I mean, I can't really say any specifics because I don't want to. I want people to watch it.
But I think Matt and I can agree that Dave's
in. Yeah, okay.
Get out.
At least I can.
Wait a second.
I mean, that's all I got at this point, because like I said, I'm not going to give away this stuff. People need to see this. So I'm ready to wrap up at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Me too, man. This was a good bunch of bits.
All right. So if you already subscribed to SwearNet and you've seen these shows, we definitely want to hear your opinion. I really am interested in hearing anyone's opinion on the last part on Extreme Fucking Weather, since we seem to have three different opinions, you know. I like it the most. Quint likes it, and Dave is stupid. Or
I got a little tired of it. Yeah, I mean, it was great for about 30 seconds, but it went on too long.
So definitely for sure, if you've seen this while you're waiting for the next episode, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/trailerpodboys. Let us know what you think of Extreme Fucking Weather or these other shows we covered, or email us at tpp@neozaz.com. And if you haven't seen it, Quint said it in the beginning, it's $4.20 a month, which is extremely reasonable, and you're not forced into a long-term subscription. You can subscribe. They've even made it super easy to make sure you aren't charged every month, which is I actually really commend them for doing that. It's very easy to make sure you only sign up once to see if you like it. $4.20 It's well, we're just the three
you
shows.
Can't get coffee for yeah, $4.20.
And the first three things we covered, even just mailbag, I mean, it's worth it, I think.
I agree.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, all right, that's it for this episode. That's our contact pages. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and the next episodes we're going to cover are the series High Fuckers from one of our favorite past interviewees, Sam Tarasco, which I think that is, you know, I put that on the schedule as first and not really realizing how much we have to talk about that.
My God, I hope that's ongoing. I really do.
Me too, yeah. The second thing we're going to cover is our first coverage of new Trailer Park Boys material since we've come back to the show, and that is Trailer Park Boys updates from Sunnyvale. And last but not least, I just made the bold statement of Extreme Fucking Weather might be my favorite series, but now that I see this one's up on our next schedule, I might change that in one episode. The next series, Fried on a Ferry, is what we're going to cover in the next episode. So, yeah. That's it for now. Good to be back. This has been fun. It's been nice to be able to talk about like great this again. And we'll be back for more in 2 weeks. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is a NeoZazz.com production and part of the NeoZazz.com Internet Entertainment Network. For more great shows and original entertainment, please visit our website at NeoZazz.com. The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is not endorsed by nor affiliated with TPB Productions or SwearNet Inc. All Trailer Park Boys and SwearNet characters, situations, places, and events are copyright TPP Productions, SwearNet Inc., or their respective trademark or copyright holders. For all the latest Trailer Pod Boys podcast news and releases, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/trailerpodboys.